is advised. You've dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Touch that dial. You are exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM, or maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss a show, you can download our podcast at juiceboxradio.com. However you got to spend the hour with us, we are glad to have you. Welcome to Juicebox. Tonight's show is all about fantasies. Yes, ours, yours, others. And we're going to be taking calls tonight. So feel free to call in and contribute to the conversation we're going to be having. Do call at 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR. We are on the air, live, and ready to receive you.
So, Julia, I love that. Ready to receive. I love how you're raising my eyebrows, or your eyebrows. But what I was going to say is, how would you describe sexual fantasies? What are they?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I think I've done shows on this before. I tried to find them in my 125. This is our 125th show tonight. Yay! On Juicebox. So I tried to find them in my old files. I was like, I thought this has got to be the third one I've done on fantasies, and I couldn't find them. So it's all fresh tonight. Fantasies, they're basically like daydreams. I mean, they're imaginary visions, whimsical speculations. They can be sexual or otherwise. Wishful thinking. Right? Everybody sort of has fantasies at some level, whether it's about winning the lottery or whatever have you. If you'd ever imagined what you'd do if you won the lottery, you've used fantasy.
I can imagine a lot of things.
Right. So, and you know, fantasy is a very fundamental part of human nature. And we see active imagination as healthy in children, which is really important. We try to cultivate that in children, and watching them playing and you see them sort of lost in a world of their own. And that's something that's good. But something that adults actually tend to grow out of. And it's not something that necessarily you should grow out of, but most people, because I think it's actually healthy for people to fantasize about whatever and sort of imagine what it is that they want and the power of manifestation and all that stuff. So I think it's important that we don't suppress our imagination during the day and that we let our unconscious passions emerge, especially when we're sleeping. But things to do with, you know, anything to do with fantasizing is probably a good thing, as long as it's something positive that you're doing for yourself and that you're trying to manifest something positive for yourself. But we're in society today, we're very encouraged to suppress our fantasies and to suppress what is coming through kind of our imagination and to sort of live in reality and be, you know, down the, you know, foot on the ground. And
why do you think that
all
is?
That. I just think it's just such a production-oriented world. Our, you know, output is really valued and sort of working your ass off is valued. Making a lot of money is valued. And so to sort of sit there and kind of at a park and imagine, you know, what you would do if you win the lottery, people sort of look down upon that in this sort of highly productive, output-oriented world. So keep fantasizing, everybody. Do it in bed, especially. All right. Yeah, and understanding fantasies.
I was just going to ask about that.
Sorry.
No, because there's so many different types of fantasies people have, and sometimes there's guilt attached to it. Where, like, for example, even say something like winning the lotto, where it's like, oh my God, I should really be working for my money. I shouldn't be thinking of, you know, filling out all these, like, numbers and winning, like, $1 million or, like, $10 million or whatever. And then people start feeling guilty, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. I should be focusing. So what, you know, how what's the best way to go about understanding fantasies, especially in the sexual realm?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, I don't know. When it comes to sexual stuff, I think there's such a huge range of personal taste in sexual fantasy, just as there is in everything else, like you're suggesting. A million things to do with the $1 million that you might win. But many people feel really uncomfortable with their own fantasies, and that I think the biggest fears that I've heard of is that people think that they're weird, and that if they're turned on by certain things, that may be unacceptable to other people. Mm-hmm. So people are always really concerned about feeling like there's something wrong with them, that they're weird, and that what they want is odd or going to be seen as sort of sick or something like that. So I know a lot of the sexologists, friends of mine that do counseling all the time, they constantly are trying to tell their clients that it's normal. It's okay, you know. As long as you're not hurting children or animals, like, you pretty much the gamut is yours. Mm-hmm. But often understanding fantasy, sexual fantasies express an aspect of our unconscious mind. And that's a constant thing. That is what's really going on, is your unconscious mind talking. So, for example, fantasies about being submissive, which are very common, or being passive, very common, may be linked to this desire to sort of experience a highly sexual arousal kind of experience, something really like a rape fantasy, or like just being completely passive to something that might be happening. Like, one of my favorites is like getting fucked by some crazy vampire, you know. And really, I think what that's about is about removing your personal responsibility.
Yes.
So this is unconsciousness that's going on in the fantasy. Why is it that I have this fantasy? Well, it's because I don't want to be responsible in the sexual act. So that kind of will cultivate some fantasies there. The fantasies are simply somewhere that we can act out things that we might never do in real life. So having sex in a public place or with a particular person, like Hugh Grant, perhaps, Caroline. And sometimes, you know, they turn us on precisely because they're not real. Mm-hmm. So it allows us to sort of get into completely, like, you know, having sex with some animal or something, or some, like I said, vampires or something that's, like, you know, in most people's realm of imagination is not real. And so that's part of sometimes what turns people on the most about fantasies, is that it's something that could probably never happen, like in childhood. Like our
well, there's some amazing things in childhood. I swear, it starts off with fairy tales. I don't know, but, well, we grew up together, so I mean, I can still remember, you know, trading stickers and stuff like that, and at the same time talking
Rainbow
about
Rainbow Bright.
Exactly.
I'd like to fuck her for sure.
I was too busy trying to pretend I was Cinderella and waiting for my prince to come. I think I still am, and maybe I need therapy for that one. But
well, you know, you're suggesting. I mean, there's a lot of fairy tales out there that have a lot of sexual content in them, for one. But they're usually this romantic sort of envelope where it's like, as young children, you know, even boys, they want to be that knight in shining armor, and girls want to be that thing that's rescued, and that Cinderella, that Sleeping Beauty.
And it's that whole thing about the kiss. Like being awakened by the kiss, whether it's Snow White, where she's bitten the poisonous apple and she passes out and the prince comes, or whether it's Sleeping Beauty, where it's that kiss and you just, I don't know, but when, you know, when you're a kid, you're reading those Sweet Dreams, Sweet Valley High books, and you can't wait. And I remember when I got my first kiss.
Sweet Valley High.
I love Sweet Valley High.
Oh my God,
I own so many of them.
Really?
Do you still have yours?
Oh my God, like 50 volumes.
You still have them?
Yes.
I so want to read them.
I have them all.
Okay, I'm going to have to borrow them.
Okay. This is the pack rat. Thanks, Dad. I got it from you.
I gave mine all away.
Oh, really? Well, you can have mine. I was saving them for my children. By the time they ever read them, they'll be like, oh my God, Mom, this is the lamest story I've ever heard in my life. Anyway.
But it was all about the kiss and how important that kiss was. And it's interesting that Anne Rice, and I'm trying to remember, what was the name that she wrote
Rice,
under?
A.N. Roculaire. Roculaire?
I'm not sure. I think that's it.
Anyway, she did the Sleeping Beauty trilogy.
Which is pretty cool, where Sleeping Beauty is awakened by the prince by having sex with her.
So she wakes up because the cock goes inside of her, and she's waking up from this intercourse.
If I remember correctly,
it's actually, quite a kiss.
It is. Actually, I think he actually ejaculates inside her, and that's when the wake-up is. So wow. He's thrusting inside her for quite a while before. I think I remember it quite well. I think I used to own that book at one point.
Mm-hmm. But then she's taken to the castle as a slave for him, right? I mean, she's spanked, and she's sexually used for the prince's enjoyment.
Yes, she gets to wear the what's it called, where you put it, the harness, and they use her with the riding crop and everything, and she has to go with and pick up things with her teeth. It's quite sexy, actually.
So she's sort of exposed and introduced to very explicit sexual acts, and not all to her enjoyment, but that's quite the twist on the old fairy tale for the kids.
Huge
it's
twist.
Like Anne Rice, a.k.a. Anne Roculaire. I wish I was French. She's sort of taken that twist on the fairy tale. But I think I agree with what you said. I mean, this is something that you introduced to me tonight. Was like, you know, in childhood, it starts in childhood, like this fantasy of the romantic kind, which then the cock and pussy starts to become part of that. It's getting involved in that. Yes.
It's true. I can still remember friends actually trying to have sex with their teddy bears, masturbating against them, rubbing themselves against them and all that stuff. And then, you know, besides the usual playing doctor and all that lovely stuff that you go through.
I don't remember much of my childhood. I just remember at 14 sort of being the sex educator on the block and teaching all the 8 and 9 and 10 year olds how to have oral sex because I was such a messed up little girl.
Oh, darn.
And I don't remember. I sort of think I just acted out right from my the base of my brain. I don't think I actually used much of my unconscious sort of mind and creative self. I think I was just sort of always acting right from
this
amygdala, whatever that was called.
No, I used a lot, definitely. But then again, as you know, I was suppressed and I wasn't allowed to go and hang out with other kids because my parents were really deranged and strange. And as you know. And so with that, I mean, I thought of all sorts of weird things, from everything from being abducted by aliens and having them experiment on me with all my sex parts. Mm. And having some adult, it was really sick. I remember Green Thumb Theater coming to our elementary school and doing that whole, my body's nobody's body but mine. You run your own body, let me run mine. Do you remember all that stuff?
I sure don't. But like I said, I don't remember much from our childhood.
Oh, I remember
you
that.
On the playground, that's about it, with your long, dark hair.
I must have got long, dark hair, but all the better for pulling.
So I think, yes.
But I think it's...
Can you do a reading? We did some readings here.
We're doing some readings tonight. From Penthouse Letters, number 5.
Yes, letters to Penthouse. And they are actual fantasies that people have written in. And Caroline has quite a dog-eared book full of them.
Yes, definitely my masturbation material over the years.
So we're going to read this one, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about fantasizing, the benefits of fantasy, learning to fantasize, all that good stuff. So,
Here we go. When baby misbehaves, the sitter must punish him. Reading your magazine has prompted me to write about something that happened to me when I was 18. My parents worked, so we had a female college student living with us. In exchange for a place to stay, Amanda did housework and babysat me. Amanda was a pretty girl with large breasts. During my summer vacation, I started hiding in the closet of her bedroom when she was in the shower. When Amanda would come out, I'd watch her get dressed. One day, I must have made some noise because she caught me in the closet with my dick in hand. Was she ever mad? She threatened to tell my parents when they got home. I was so scared and embarrassed, I started begging her not to tell. After she cooled off a little, Amanda got me to agree that I deserved to be punished and that we could work something out. Amanda ordered me to get undressed and to lie across her knees so she could give me a spanking. She spanked my ass until it was red and sore and then laughed at me because my dick was rock hard. That was just the beginning. Amanda proceeded to make me her little slave boy. I had to put on her silk panties and do all the housework to make sure... To make sure I didn't tell my parents, she took pictures of me wearing her panties and vacuuming, pushing the vacuum cleaner. She swore she'd give copies of the pictures to all my friends if I spoke a word. Later during the day, she made me eat her pussy and lick her asshole. She also spanked me again. And this time I came in her panties, so she made me eat my own cum. This is pretty interesting. The rest of the summer, while my friends were partying at the beach, I spent most of my time serving my mistress. On Saturday nights, when my parents went out for dinner, Amanda made me model her lingerie for her friends. By the end of the evening, I would have eaten all the girls out, been spanked at least once, led to the building where the girls would tie me up and take turns sticking dildos at my rear end. When Amanda graduated from college, she fucked me once, burned the pictures, and said it had been fun. I haven't seen her since, but I actually miss being her slave. I've dated quite a lot of women since, but I've never been in a relationship that was as satisfying. I'll continue to look for the right woman to be my next mistress. It's really interesting, hey?
Is that the one? Is that it?
That's it.
Interesting. Well, this is what I was talking about with the unconscious mind stuff, but, like, honestly, this guy's been so imprinted now that it would probably be difficult for him to get beyond that fantasy being dominated. And this is part of the thing with childhood, too. It's like so much of our paraphilias, which are everything to do with sexuality and sexual fantasies and interests that don't involve inanimate objects. So people always talk about fetishes, but fetishes are actually about inanimate objects like shoes and leather and fur and different kinds of, you know, things like that. Paraphilias are stuff around like feet or like obsessive like oral sex where you just, you know, want nothing but just to go down for hours and don't want any reciprocation and you can't come orally because you just, you know, all that. Those are like little, those are paraphilias. Mm-hmm. Those are sort of different. They're dealing with, you know, or hair or something that's alive, you know, something that actually belongs to a person, are in the range of paraphilia. But, So I find, I don't know, BDSM stuff, to me, a lot of that is paraphilia-based. And I know a lot of my BDSM friends get so mad at me because I'm like, well, you know, this dominant submission thing, mm-hmm. I bet you if you dig deep into your unconscious mind, you've been abused in some way. And that's just, and
do
I swear
really
to God, I'd say out of all the preliminary research I've done, 90% of people that I've talked to have had that happen to them.
Wow.
So they sexualize abuse.
Interesting.
And they sexualize, I mean, they can have a very healthy expression of it today,
mm-hmm.
but it's rooted in what happens in our childhood. So like wearing diapers and wanting to like suck on a bottle while you get fucked.
What about being spanked and stuff like that? Would you consider that under that realm? Because like their parents spanked them when they were a kid? And
Maybe. I mean, I got a lot of spankings, bare bum over the knees of my stepfather and things like that. So I don't like getting spanked. Really, though.
See,
but it depends. It could have sexualized.
And I hated it. I used to scream from the wooden spoon and hide.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it could have. I mean, if it involves pleasure, often is what happens. So, like, say if I'd been over his knee in a way that had engaged my clitoris a bit, and when he spanked me, I was rocked and sort of my clitoris was like pleasured.
Mm-hmm.
So that all of a sudden, as this little girl, I'm getting this spanking and it feels pleasurable. And he's like, I do this because I love you, not because of, you know, whatever. Then I might start to get some kind of like, you know. So it sort of, it depends.
Actually, there is one actually about that in here, one of the other letters. You're not too old to be taken over my knee. I moved here from England 10 years ago when I got married. My wife Liz had a 9-year-old daughter. England has a long history of spanking for discipline. My wife didn't believe in it. My stepdaughter Bonnie is now 19 and has been away from college for the last year. She came home on a break recently and brought her roommate Moira. On Friday night, they stayed out till 3 in the morning. Saturday, my wife and Bonnie had a fight as her curfew was 1 o'clock. I told her that regardless whether she was right or wrong in her argument, she had to control her temper or she'd get the spanking she was so long overdue for. She said I wouldn't dare. Bonnie normally sleeps in just a t-shirt and panties, so when I grabbed her and pulled her over my lap, she had a little protection. When I gave her a first spank, she really started cursing me, and I stopped keeping my hand on her panty-covered bottom and calmly said, if you don't stop, I'll take your panties down and really let you have it. She told me I wouldn't dare, adding, you're not my father. That stung, and I was determined to sting her in right in return. I pulled her bikini bottoms right off, exposing her round little bottom. She squeezed her legs together so I couldn't see anything. I knew that a few well-placed swats would soon change that. I lectured her first and then really started spanking her. After a couple dozen spanks, she began crying and kicking her legs and begging me to stop. Her bottom was turning a pleasant shade of red, and I was getting really turned on by all her squirming. It had been a long time since I administered a good spanking, and I was thoroughly enjoying myself. I was equally enjoying the sight of her pussy lips, which were now in plain view, as red and swollen as her white ass cheeks were becoming. As I continued to spank her, I noticed her lips were getting moist, as I hoped they would, and she was moaning. Just when I was getting well into the game, she started to apologize. It was unbearable for me to stop, but there was really no excuse to go on, so I withheld my hand and stood her in the corner. While all this was going on, her friend Maura had been yelling at me and calling me names, saying she'd have me arrested for assault. I told her if she didn't mind her own business, she'd get the same treatment, hoping, of course, she'd ignore my warning. I wasn't disappointed. She continued swearing at me. When I finished with Bonnie, I grabbed Maura, a small blonde, easy to turn, across my knee. Maura was wearing a nightgown, and when I pulled it down to her waist, I found she wasn't wearing any panties. I began spanking her. Her pale white skin turned red, and she continued to twist, wiggle, trying to escape. Nevertheless, it soon became clear she, too, was aroused by my efforts, and the very strong smell of her pussy juice told me so. She was much more stubborn than Bonnie and ended up being spanked much longer. At first, Maura didn't want me to know that she was enjoying herself, but after a while, she abandoned her attempt to hide her pleasure and openly began humping my knee. She continued her crying and kinking, but her hard, fat clit was pressed against my leg, and she bounced up and down instead of twisting and trying to get away. Before I finished, she'd had an orgasm. Her juices flowed and left a wet spot on my pants. I stood her in the corner also.
Is this stepdad doing this?
This is stepdad.
Okay. How old are these girls?
They're 19.
Oh, that's okay. Age of consent.
And told them that I wouldn't release them until they stopped crying and apologized. The sight of these two shapely young girls rubbing their sore red bottoms was a sight to behold. Bonnie asked me very humbly if she could put her panties back on, but I told her no. They both held it a little longer, but soon Bonnie and then Moira apologized very contritely. I let them go about their business while I ran back to my bedroom to release my own pent-up tension. Later, Bonnie and my wife went shopping. Myra stayed home to rest. I went out by the pool while Myra came out wearing a skimpy black bikini. She asked me to rub cold cream on her tender bottom and suntan lotion on her back. She managed to lie in the sun, but only on her stomach as her bottom was so sore. Since this first episode, they both come to visit again and have both found ways to force me to give them spankings. Not that I needed forcing, you understand, but there's something said for maintaining the illusion. My wife now agrees that we should have used spankings to punish Bonnie a long time ago. Bare bottoms spankings have become the standard punishment in our home.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a bit crazy. And you know, when I said it's okay for stepdad to do this sort of sexual stuff to the 19-year-old, it's not really okay at all. But in the fantasy world, which is what we're talking about tonight, that's a very well-written fantasy, and you've read that very quickly, young lady.
Thank you.
Okay, it's next one's going to be slower and more sensuous. I liked the referral to what we're talking about, though. You obviously know this book inside out.
I do. I think I've masturbated to a lot of it at different times.
Fabulous. So, fantasizing about other people, that seems to be very, very common amongst most people.
Well, you have to.
They worry, though, about fantasizing about someone other than their partner. And it's sort of sometimes people feel like that's an act of betrayal, and it certainly is not. Let me reassure you. Revealing either a desire to be unfaithful or that they are no longer turned on by their partner alone, that can be a little bit more hurtful. But in fact, this is rarely the case. I mean, evidence suggests that those who fantasize the most are in happy, loving, trusting relationships. And it's in this kind of context of a happy, loving, trustful relationship that the mind can explore places that the body has no intention of visiting.
Interesting.
But also has intention of visiting, or whatever the case may be. Either one.
The point is that it's
a good context to be in. So there's a lot of benefits to fantasy. I mean, sex generally starts in the brain. Mm-hmm. That's definitely, especially for women, it's a huge brain thing, but it is also for men, very much so. So an active imagination can actually mean you're ready for sex before anything physical has actually happened. So if you can sort of get yourself wet and excited, or hard and excited, before anything physical happens, that's fabulous, and fantasy can often help you get there. Desire is heightened, arousal gets quicker, and also I think especially for women, because we take a little longer to get to the level of arousal where we can really be orgasmic and really be wet and excited and have a really good time, takes us a little bit longer than men often. So it's a good thing if you can sort of engage your fantasy mind in there, maybe touch yourself a little bit before you start even having the foreplay kind of thing, so that it get you there. And then some people find an active fantasy life can add novelty to a very long-standing sexual relationship. So,
like role-playing, for example, like playing naughty nurse and teacher and student and all that lovely stuff.
Mm-hmm. And this can be particularly helpful if your partner is not as sexually adventurous as you are. Is you can add fantasy to your repertoire, to your experience. You know, using sex toys and fantasizing about whatever might be happening. And then the role playing as well is really popular amongst long term relationships. I think it's a really good way to go. But conversely, if you find it embarrassing to experiment in bed which a lot of people do, fantasy offers an opportunity to give your imagination kind of free rein and to play out roles in your mind. And it can be used as a practice arena where you can kind of build your confidence mm-hmm. before embarking on something new. But in psychosexual therapy, fantasy is often used to help block out negative thoughts. So it's also helpful in that realm. And if you find that during sexual encounters, your mind starts to wander to unhelpful images or thoughts that kind of turn you off, mm-hmm. Fantasy can help you to refocus on your sexual pleasure. So it's a lot of good benefits to using fantasy.
How would somebody learn to fantasize? Because some people tell me that they can't. What would you recommend?
Well, I think if you don't find sexual fantasy comes easy, mm-hmm. You can learn to do it. I'm not a very good sexual fantasizer. I even when I'm masturbating, I don't think about anything but maybe a big cock or like I'll think about a genital thing, but I won't think about a person or like a I won't create anything. So, you know, I'm not very creative that way, and I'm actually probably not a very creative lover in a lot of ways because of that. So I should be taking this own advice and learning. So erotica can help. Like these stories in Letters to Penthouse, for example, or other mm-hmm. erotica. Try exploring bookshops for erotic books and art to give you some ideas.
You can even get stuff at Chapters. Mm-hmm. We were there last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, including mm-hmm. that pop-out book.
Yes.
The sex education pop-out book, which I can't remember what it's called, which had the penis that popped out. And you can move the people where you can see they're fucking or the guy who was going down on the woman and his head was bobbing up and down.
Or in that there was a whole airplane scene with like this fly and mile high club. Anyways, this whole pop-up book is all torn and all fucked up because people
we'd have bought it.
Yeah, there were six copies and they were all messed up. I'm like, okay, you should have one example copy and the rest zip wrap or whatever the heck you call it. Anyway,
well, that would be good.
I'm sure all the children found it and their parents were like, where's our kid? And they're all tucked away in this pop-up book.
I don't know. It kind of made us dwell back to childhood because I think we were laughing so hard in that store.
So funny. Anyway, there's also a wealth of magazines available to suit any taste. So if you want to create fantasy, you can go get magazines in your local video store. Obviously, you can mm-hmm. stock a range of films from romantic to slapstick to thrillers and obviously more explicit movies.
And if you're having trouble with some of that, Candida Royale actually has some really good stuff mm-hmm. That's more geared towards women in terms of the fantasy realm where it's not just straight fat sex, but there is a little bit more of a storyline. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. The stuff she produces is quite good.
All this stuff can help you find out mm-hmm. what turns you on, for sure. And then with the help of relaxation techniques, I think that's really important, sort of mm-hmm. laying back and allowing your mind to sort of build your personal favorites, whatever they might be. So relaxation and sort of going deep. You're very good at fantasizing, though, my friend. So can you share with the listeners there, Caroline, a little bit about what turns you on? What would you fantasize about?
There's a lot. So it depends on whether I'm with a partner or whether I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. So because that's completely different, and it depends where I am in the relationship with somebody.
Can you give me an example?
An example. My classic, of course, is the threesome, which is interesting because I don't actually find women.
Two boys, two girls. What?
Two girls.
Two girls and
boy.
One boy, two girls. Okay.
Yeah, I've
mm-hmm.
always wanted 69 and being fucked from behind.
So
I'd be going down a girl while she's underneath me, and she'd be eating me out and licking my partner while he'd be inside me.
Ah, yes.
I always thought that'd be super sexy.
I've had that happen a few times.
And?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, you kind of have to... I've been the person underneath doing the licking, and I've been the person getting the penis while being licked, and it's kind of a dangerous... It's like a dangerous arrangement.
Face hit?
Yes.
Okay.
You're going to get your balls slapping in your face. You also get the woman starts to buck often who's getting fucked with bucking, and so you'll get like a pubic bone in your face.
Aww.
And you'll be like, oh, the teeth, and then she gets hurt because like you've teethed her with your
more one of those fantasies that are better on paper than real life.
Or if people are just a bit more skilled at it, I don't know, I'm getting better.
Yeah.
But you know, I was a young man and I didn't know what I was doing,
and of course being watched is an awesome one. So.
Oh, I'm gonna be getting that done this weekend.
Nice.
Me and my Poly Dan 3, we're going to be at Recompression this weekend, and there's this amazing cabin called Sacred Something Expression, blah, 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 Sex Cabin.
What is Recompression?
It's a Burning Man community event. So I'm giving a workshop there on negotiating sexual encounters.
Nice.
And missing Easter with my family so that I can be there to work. But I'm also going to be doing my first, I guess, live performance of
what kind of performance?
Julia having sex with her lover. It's something I've never done before. So in front of other people. I don't usually have sex in front of other people. I will play, I will diddle, I will do some oral, I will maybe, you know.
I love having sex in front of other people.
But I've never, yeah, had intercourse really in front of.
Ever?
No.
Well, I think I can applaud you because that's good.
I'm 37. Gonna do it for the first time. All right, so and my I think my biggest fantasy for me, and I'm gonna be doing a reading after the break about my biggest fantasy. There's a good one in here, I'm so excited. Is two men and a woman. I've never had two men before, so I'm really, really stoked about that. That's my biggest fantasy. All right, and but they have to be into each other. They have to be like men that are kind of like having sex with each other, and I'm kind of there, kind of going like, can I suck that, or can I can I get some for a minute, or you know, but mostly they're into each other, and like I'm just sort of like getting the odd fun thing, and maybe they come on me at the end or something. But it's really about me watching men have sex together. Right.
Sorry, I was thinking about that when we were asking people about sex earlier.
Yeah, so what did you find out from your preliminary asks before we go to the break here quickly?
Well, I found out number one fantasy. I asked several people. The only person who wouldn't tell me was my brother, who told me, and I can't tell you, you're my sister.
He hung up on you.
Yes, he did. I'm hanging up now. I said, I'm hanging up now. I can give you to Julia. Julia, you can tell Julia. No, I'm not talking to you guys, but goodbye. But of course, threesome was the big one. Role playing was huge. Everything from the nurse, school girls, all that kind of stuff was huge. And sex in public places, which I thought was interesting because for me, I don't even consider that fantasy anymore because to me, that's reality. I get off on having sex in public places.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Yeah, because that's got to be the all-time favorite. So it was interesting how many guys mentioned it and don't actually do it. The other one was getting fucked up the ass with a double-headed dildo, which I thought that
was
interesting.
What do you mean?
It's kind of
so
like,
you have one in the ass, one in the pussy?
Yeah, one in the ass in terms of where I'd be wearing a strap-on and I'd have it inside me and I'd be fucking him up the ass as well.
Oh, yes,
kind of
yes.
Like one of Anne Rice's books, Exit to Eden,
yes.
Where she chains him up and she fucks him and they both have a wretched orgasm when she's supposed to be punishing him.
Wretched.
Yes, wretched, where it just makes you shake and shudder.
I think that sounds pretty good. I don't know about wretched, but anyway, all right.
Oh, wretched's a good word.
Okay,
but
so
I guess we should take a break.
When we get back, we're going to talk about the most common fantasies. We're going to talk about talking about this with your partner, how to talk about it with your partner. And then also we're going to be doing some more erotica readings.
So if you want, you should give us a call right at this time while we take our short break. So keep that dial locked to hear more hot fantasies. And give us a call, and because we'd like to hear what yours are. 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. You're in Juicebox, featured on Vancouver CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
We will, and on the break, we're playing Caroline's personal fantasy. That would be from the motion picture Music and Lyrics.
Actually, I think we're playing Buddha's Delight.
Buddha's Delight.
But Hugh Grant is also featured on this, which may have to squeeze in at the end of the show.
Hugh Grant.
I love Hugh Grant.
I know.
I
want to
marry him. That's my fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah, but not with his prostitute.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute. Okay.
Each time you put your lips to mine, it's like On Thursday, April 12th, CITR 101.9 FM presents live at Rocked Thursdays at the Plaza Club, featuring the Constantines, John Ray and the River, and Lady Hawk. Tickets available at Zulu, Scratch, Red Cat, and High Life. For more information, visit www.clubzone.com.
The Constantines, John Ray and the River, and Lady Hawk, Thursday, April 12th at the Plaza. Brought to you by CITR 101.9 FM. To love, to spite, the strange winds blow.
To lust, we're raging low. Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Juice Box Radio on UBC CITR 101.9 FM. And if you didn't hear us before the break, we're talking about hot, hot fantasies. And Julia, I can't believe nobody called in. In case any of you've missed it and you still want to call, it's 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
People are afraid to tell us what their fantasies are.
I know. People are scared to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to talk more about why that is and all that crap.
Well, I want to...
You want to hear what?
I want to hear about it.
I want to hear about my favorite fantasy, which is what we're reading right now. Two heads are better than one, and that's just the dildo. Okay. I've just lived through the most fulfilling 48 hours of sexual excitement that I could have ever imagined. My best friend John had come over to see the master bathroom my wife and I had just finished working on. As part of the project, we built a sunbathing deck off the outside shower. Wow, that sounds nice. The deck got full sun throughout the afternoon. Since we enjoy nude sunbathing, we installed a 7-foot wall for complete privacy. John was impressed by what he saw. When we left the deck and walked back through the master bedroom, he spotted our collection of X-rated tapes and expressed interest in seeing one. I asked if he'd ever seen a threesome with two men and a woman. He said no, so I popped in a film I thought he'd like. It featured two men servicing a beautiful lady as well as each other. John watched the film, and I watched him begin to squirm. He fidgeted around quite a bit during a scene when the two guys went down on each other. I knew he was getting hard, and I loved it. I asked John if he'd ever handled another guy's hard-on. He admitted he'd only thought about it, but was not sure how to approach a man for sex. I dropped my pants, yanked out my tool, and said, "Consider yourself approached." I coaxed him into showing me his cock. It was splendid. 8.5 inches long, cut, and a good 4 inches in diameter. Ouch. I dropped to my knees and slowly fondled his balls and massaged his pole. He was pleased. My lips slowly encircled the massive purple head. A drop of pre-cum oozed from the tip. As I rolled my tongue over and over his head, it really began to stiffen. Pressure was building up in my cock, too. I was going to need some relief. I was going to need some relief before long. John reached for my chest and played with my nipples as I sucked. He began to groan and moan, rotating his hips into my vacuum-like mouth. I could tell it wouldn't be long before he spewed his goo. I took his dick all the way down my throat. He exploded furiously. I kneaded his balls and scrotum as his semen pumped out. It's a good trick, girls. Spurt after spurt shot down my gullet, his balls spanking my chin. I, too, had climaxed, my cum oozing all over myself and the carpet. I couldn't ever remember my dick being so hard. It redefined the word stiff. John got close to my balls and inhaled deeply. "I love that smell," he said. He licked my shaft slowly with long, smooth strokes of his tongue. Against my will, I erupted instantly. Oh, that was pretty good comeback there. He just came. It was my second orgasm in about 3 minutes. I'd never done that before. "Let's sunbathe on the deck," I suggested. We rushed to the deck, spread out a couple of cushions, and began to talk about what had just happened. I told him I wanted more. I told him I wanted his dick up my ass. John admitted to having had some pretty wild fantasies about butt-fucking and said he'd do it to me. We were both stiff again, despite having come only 10 minutes earlier. I went to my wife's nightstand and took out her KY jelly. I said to John, "It's now or never." This was his best friend. I dropped to my knees and licked his cockhead. "What a beautiful cock," I said. "I want to take you up the ass." John soon was crawling the walls with desire. He was mine. I spread jelly on my anus and on his prick, and as I knelt in front of him on the deck, I felt the sun shining on us. His cockhead popped into my asshole, and the rest of his 7 inches soon followed. In no time at all, he was nuts deep in my butt. He reached over and grabbed my dick. "I want us to fire our loads at the same time," he told me. His rhythm was steadily increasing, and his hand was getting coated with my pre-cum. He stroked my dick and banged my rear over and over again. I moaned with passion and lust. "Give it to me, John. Dump your load inside me." I gushed just as he shot his load up my rectum. My fanny ground into his groin. I wanted to feel all of his cum-coated cock in my slimy ass. We were covered with sperm. Everything smelled of sex. As we pulled apart, I heard a female voice behind me. "You guys do this often?" It was my wife, Sammy. She'd caught the last 10 minutes of our act. I didn't know what to do. She finally said to John, "I think you might want to leave now. My husband and I have quite a bit to talk about." After John had left, Sammy asked me why we did it. I told her I'd wanted to experience another man in my mouth and in my ass. I was curious, and John was too. We hadn't planned it, but it did happen. She hugged me, but she said she had to give it some thought. Then she went for a ride. As part of our remodel, we'd installed a sunken tub. My dick, which was still semi-erect and covered with sperm, needed a bath, and so did my ass. I filled the tub with hot water and bubbles and relaxed for half an hour or so. I thought about my marriage and how it was probably over. I dressed, put on some music, and had a couple of beers. When Sammy came back 3 hours later, I was very happy to see her and tried to give her a big kiss. "Not so fast, Buster," she said. "I'm going to punish you for your behavior. Do you remember when your dad caught you smoking and he made you smoke so much it made you sick?" "Yes," I said. "Well," she went on, "I'm going to ream your ass until you never want to see another dick again as long as you live." She then pulled out an 11-inch double-headed dildo, grabbed me by the hand, and dragged me into the bedroom. My dick was showing signs of excitement again.
I told you, it's a huge fantasy.
Sammy, who I think is the most beautiful woman in the galaxy, well, that's a nice compliment, tore open my shirt, ripped off my jeans, and demanded to know if I liked boys and not girls. My stiff dick pointed directly in an answer at Sammy. She took some jelly and smeared a handful on my cock. She wanted to know how John and I started because she'd only seen our finale. When I told her about dropping to my knees and popping John's dick into my mouth, she lubed my ass. When I described the feeling of his balls against my chin, she lubed the dildo and gently stuffed 5 inches of it up to my backside. Gently and five doesn't go. When I told her how good his prick felt in my butt, she pushed me to the floor, doggy style, and pushed the dildo into the hilt. Now Sammy was getting pretty hot herself. I could smell her cunt juice, and I saw it running down her leg. "Why don't you ride the other end of that thing, Sammy, and really ream me good?" When the dildo made contact with her moist pussy, I could hear her breath stop. I think she wanted to fuck herself more than she wanted to see me squirm. I leaned back into the dildo and could feel her trembling. She quivered and shook. We began to rock back and forth faster and faster, fucking each other in a way I'd never dreamed. She climaxed violently 3, 4, 5 times in a row. In all my years, she'd never come that much. Never. We finished off with me sliding my cock into her asshole and pumping her ass full of spunk. It seems Sammy no longer cares if John and I get it on. In fact, she wants to hide in the closet the next time we do it. I just hope she comes out to play when the action gets hot. That was from HD in Los Angeles, California. Very good. Oh, my God.
That's hot.
I think it's time for me to go home now.
Breathe. I know. It's called shower time.
All righty, then. So that's Julia's favorite fantasy. If you ever want to make that happen, John. Thanks very much. Okay, so the most common male fantasies include having sex with an existing partner. These are from the vanilla category, folks. Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Giving and receiving oral sex. Having sex with more than one person. This is in the research. That's very common. Having sex with more than one person is probably the top of the list. But anyway, I think getting oral sex, you have to understand this is about like what they think about when they think about sex. They think about fantasizing about sex, not just about like some special occasion. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about what they think about, and they have sex with an existing partner is common. Giving and receiving oral sex is common. Being dominant, being passive and submissive, reliving a previous experience is very common. Watching others make love. And trying new sexual positions. These are the most common male fantasies. The most common... What do you think about that? Does that sound like on par? You agree with that,
I guess,
Caroline?
So. It's different, though, for females, definitely, in some ways. A lot of it's similar.
The most common female fantasies. Having sex with an existing partner. Giving and receiving oral sex. Having sex with a new partner, which is interesting because that one's under the... For men, having sex with more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
But the third most common for women is having sex with a new partner. Which I think is interesting. Romantic or exotic locations, doing something forbidden, being submissive, reliving a previous experience, being found irresistible. That's definitely one of my fantasies, being found irresistible. And then trying new sexual positions.
I think that varies because I know I'm a missionary girl. I'm happy.
I'm a missionary girl too. I could have missionary sex probably pretty much every time. I like a little doggy once in a while.
I like being on top if they're sitting down
sometimes
in a chair
if
because
you're sitting
it rubs
in a chair,
the right way.
Exactly. They're sitting in a chair and they're sucking on my tits at the same time.
Exactly. You lean forward enough where you can rub it against their stubble.
Right. So this is not a show about Caroline and I's favorite fucking sex position,
Do you fantasize about previous experiences when you're having sex?
No.
Me neither, because I find I've tried that, and it always ends up feeling like vanilla because it's never exactly the same. It kind of reminds me if I ever became a drug addict and I tried heroin for the first time. Sorry, I don't know where that came from. Probably, I don't know.
But continue your thought pattern there. Don't lose us.
But if I was trying heroin for the first time, it's supposed to be the biggest kick the first time you try
it. Yes, like most drugs.
And then, you know, you're always chasing the dragon trying to get it after again.
Exactly.
So why the heck would you think about trying to relive that same experience? Like, how good could that be?
I don't know.
I'd almost want people to call in on that or email us about that because I don't know. I don't. Like, I mean, there's a few things that I've thought about idly just to get myself wet. But even still, those are when I was quite young. Like, I had one boyfriend who used to go down on me when I had underwear on. And I used to like him eating me, like, through the underwear, which I thought was super sexy. Which would be really cool. But, I mean, I think one of the biggest ones is definitely role-playing and places to have sex.
Well, I think... Yeah, I don't know. For me, I don't know. My fantasies are just, like, very specific. Like I said, threesomes and group sex. And, I mean, I've been to so many sex parties and had a lot of group sex now, so it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of more personal stuff now. Like, you know, the two guys and, like, whatever. And then I think having sex in front of other people, which I've never done, which I'm about to do.
I've always done it discreetly when I've done it. So I've had sex at the Bread Garden, for example.
I like having sex outside for sure and new amazing locations. Like, definitely if I was to think about, if I wanted to fantasize to get excited, I would think about maybe a previous experience that was really amazing, like this past summer where Dan Four and I went to, he took me out to like Mission or something. I don't know, it was beautiful in the middle of a big field and parked the car and opened up the back and laid out this bed inside the back and there was all the sun and having some beers and drink and having some sex. And then that was really, it was an amazing peak experience, very pleasurable and relaxing and romantic until the bee stung him.
Oh my god.
Hi, Marion, you hot guy. Okay, so before we do the last reading, I just want to say, talking about it with your partner, I think we're going to do a whole show about talking about it, because we need to do a whole show about it. But just to let you know that, go ahead, were you going to say you're pointing at me?
No, you go ahead first.
Just so there's a caution about sharing fantasies. Okay, I just want to caution the couples and people out there in relationship that although some couples find that sharing and acting out their fantasies has increased trust and intimacy, other relationships have found that it hasn't because it hardly involves the person or something, right? So it's like they're like all of a sudden, you know, so that can bring up people's insecurities and things like that. But fantasies are extremely personal, so there's going to be risks involved in disclosing them, especially to someone that you care for. So consider how you're going to manage it if they don't like your fantasy or if you try acting it out and it just doesn't work. So that was part of what I was saying at the salon. Mm-hmm. It's like, consider all the repercussions or potential things that might happen if it already, if it, you know, all this stuff, like the potential outcome.
Yeah.
So thinking about the potential outcome. So sharing fantasies can be very liberating,
mm-hmm.
very liberating, but very risky. So talking to your partner first about the general theme is a good idea,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of approaching with caution, but the general theme, and then sort of get their response. And then if they seem kind of keen about it, then you can kind of go more into the details of what it is that you'd maybe like to have happen.
And some fantasies, like it said, like you said, is it's like it's good to, I don't know, what would you say in terms of talking about certain ones where you could play in the bedroom with it, but mm-hmm. not bring other people in, like, say, for
right.
example.
Exactly.
I've had partners where I've mentioned the threesome one, and of course it's like, oh, cool, she wants to do threesome, you know.
You're like two guys, not two girls.
Well, the bottom line is I don't like kissing women. I've done it. I don't like it, and I don't find women attractive in that way personally, even though I love reading about it. And it's a really cool fantasy, but in real life, it just doesn't work. And then it ends up where they, every time in the bedroom, I've had one ex who brought it up every single time we had sex, where it got to the point, I'm like, okay, whose fantasy is this, yours or mine? So, like, can we have sex without talking about that stuff?
Yeah.
Because I got to that point where I didn't even want to go there anymore, so it wasn't any fun.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, speaking generally and then trying out fantasies with your partner that don't involve particularly other people, mm-hmm. I mean, the role-playing thing can be that idea of bringing in new people, like, you know. But if they're not even keen to role play, like to pretend to be somebody else,
mm-hmm.
then they're probably not going to be keen about having somebody else come into the bedroom. But you never know. I mean, you kind of have to sort of be courageous and use nonviolent communication. You can look that up on Google or whatever.
We may have to role play on that on another show.
Yes, we can. We were going to try to role play tonight, but I think I think we'll just do the reading.
The last reading?
Yes. What is it? Which is about?
And this one is a teacher student one. Parting those cunt lips is such sweet sorrow teach. I want to tell you about the sumptuous erotic humiliation I recently received at the hands of a gorgeous high school fellow. I've already described the whole affair to my husband, who found it shocking but stimulating. I am a former actress who recently took a job as a drama teacher in a large suburban high school. I am extremely attractive, slim, and while I'm not especially well endowed in the breast department, my legs are long, tawny, and elegant. In my younger days, I always landed the part of the dewy-eyed ingenue. And it's But it's hard to play 17 when you're 41, and that's now why I'm teaching. When I began last fall at Southton High, I frequently wore a certain short red mini dress to my classes. That damn red dress, my sweet husband calls it, because of the distraction it's caused him over the years. It barely covers my hips and shows off nearly every inch of my thighs. I like it because it makes me feel free and youthful. I'm quite proud of my legs, and I thought that the dress would help me bridge the age difference between me and my students. I hoped it would put me more in touch with them. Little did I realize what kind of touching it would ultimately lead to. We're doing Romeo and Juliet this semester. Romeo was played by this incredibly young hunk named Chris. He's curly-haired, strapping, young, 18-year-old outlaw with a face to die for and a reputation as the most sought-after lover in school. Girls swoon over him. Boys envy him, and even us female teachers must do our best to keep our thoughts at a professional level when we deal with them. But it all became unglued for this teacher last year. Last week, I was directing a scene in which Romeo kisses Juliet, trying to help Chris and his co-star, a lovely girl named Margaret, turn the scene into something truly passionate. It was incredibly evident to me that neither Chris nor Margaret needed any help in making the scene catch fire. I supposed I was hovering a little too closely to them, out of jealousy, because suddenly Chris released Margaret and turned to me and said, "Here, Mrs. Hellman, I'll show you how we kiss," he said. To my astonishment, he swept me up into his strong, enveloping arms, and before I knew it, I was a limp dish rag, a melting pillar of female flesh, having the blazing hell kissed out of me, all in full view of my students, mind you. I felt Chris's ripe young mouth force mine open. It didn't take a lot of forcing, actually. His delicious tongue snaking its way into my mouth. By reflex, I closed my own lips over it, sucking deeply into my mouth. My clipboard slipped from my hand and my notes scattered across the stage floor. All my dignity was gone, and I was scarlet with embarrassment, completely under this boy's spell. The kissing went on and on. Chris was fucking my mouth with his tongue, kissing me into a trance. I tried to whimper a weak protest, but it got caught in my throat under his sweet tongue and came out as a meow of pleasure. My students were shocked. I could hear them whispering, "What a slut!" And maybe they were right. I couldn't stop. I couldn't just seem to control myself. I could feel the hem of my red dress riding above my black bikini panties, coaxed ever upward by Chris's strong young hand. The teacher's white ass cheeks were in full view of all who cared to look. "He's got a fucker right here," came the hum from all the other students, and I wasn't sure they were wrong. Chris brought a hand to my thigh, curling his fingers into the wet, soft inside of my cunt. To keep myself upright, I clamped my thighs around his hard leg. This increased the friction of his fingers over my overheating clitoris. I wondered if I was going to thoroughly disgrace myself by climaxing against him. I needed him to fuck me. I wanted his hard teenage dick inside me, and I didn't care if it cost me my job or even my reputation. These things seemed trivial compared to the passion I was feeling at that moment. Just when I thought I couldn't take it any longer without coming, Chris released me as suddenly as he had taken me. My legs were like cooked spaghetti, and I dropped clumsily to the floor. I struggled to my hands and knees as the entire class erupted into whistles, catcalls, and mocking applause. Looking up, I could not bring myself to make eye contact with my conquering young stud. Still on my knees, I dismissed the cast. When the last student filed out, ogling me over his shoulder, I finally looked up at my teenage god. "If you have any compassion," I whispered as I looked into his eyes, "you'll finish what you started. Come now, you animal, and fuck your teacher."
Thank God.
Bless his young heart, he did. He had the tact to take me to the darkened area behind the career curtain. There he propped me up against the costume trunk and pulled my black panties halfway down my legs and filled my soaked, willing vagina from behind with the longest, hardest, silky smooth cock I've taken in 25 years of lovemaking. When this boy erupted in me, I cried out and wept. I was full of shame, but powerfully aroused. I turned around and covered his mouth with kisses, then dropped to my knees again and cradled his fabulous cock in my hands, nuzzling it and kissing it gently before drawing it into my mouth to suck the nectar of our combined juices. The experience was as humiliating as magnificent, and I hope it's only the beginning. As attractive as I am, I know I can't compete for Chris's attention forever against the likes of high school cuties who are always hanging around him. But I've persuaded my dear, long-suffering husband into serving as a one-man audience for a special performance starring Chris and myself this coming Saturday night in the bedroom of our own home. Name and address withheld.
What a dirty, dirty woman.
Oh, she's, totally. I love the cunt lips.
She's got to go to jail for that.
Isn't there a couple teachers who have gone to jail
for
that?
Yes, terrible.
That one in Seattle, I want to say Susan Smith, or is she the one who killed her children? I can't remember.
I don't know, but I don't know why we chose that one. That's terrible. So there's a teacher in there, and I thought maybe it might be fun.
Yeah, but, it was amusing.
It's disturbingly real stories. Okay.
But you know what? It is a fantasy, too, though.
Okay, it can be a fantasy.
As long as it's held in the fantasy realm.
Because
yes. I've wanted to pretend I was like, you know, a 16-year-old Lolita type and having sex with a boy. So I can't see why somebody would want to flip that around.
Yeah, no, it's
so,
it's,
I mean, I can definitely totally see. Can't you see it having like, you know, you're having sex with your 21-year-old, you know, son's kid or friend who happens to come over to play in the band?
Yeah. My friend Hannah has a very cute son. I could see myself taking care of business with him.
Exactly.
Anyway, all right. So we have any announcements before we go?
Oh, yes. There is if you like pole dancing, there is a Get Ready for the Stage show from Radia Fitness. All these new up-and-coming pole dancers.
Fresh pole dancers.
And that's going to be in April 13th at the Penthouse. You can get tickets at aradiafitness.com.
Well, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show, all about fantasies. Caroline and I will be back next week with another fresh and lively juice box.
That's all you have.
But in the meantime, email Caroline at caroline@juiceboxradio.com. She finally got one. Thank you, Dan 3. Or julia@juiceboxradio.com.
And stay tuned for Hans Class Miseria with Marion. Hello, baby. We have lots of fantasies about you.
Yes, we do.
We may have to do a show devoted to that.
Just to Marion.
And you may need to come in early.
He's a very sexy. He's a very sexy man to be miserable with. Let him guide you into the wee hours with his ambient collection of music and his super hot voice.
Thanks for listening to Juicebox.
We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
Yay!
You did it.
Oh, baby.
to Experience Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to get into it.